Let's talk about pleasure. I want us today to think of pleasure purely for its own sake, rather than as a byproduct of other things. To help us get started, we began by grounding ourselves in our bodies, tending to all of our five senses in our chocolate communion. Now I want to invite you to join me in memory, recalling those moments in each of our lives where our bodies, thoughts, and feelings have aligned in an experience of pure pleasure, an internal sense of satisfaction to which, once we have experienced it, we know we can aspire, to borrow Audre Lorde's words from our reading today. When have you experienced such an internal sense of satisfaction? What are the sensations, activities, and qualities of relationship that bring you the most profound pleasure? What words would you use to name that pleasure? Bliss, ease, intimacy, satisfaction. How frequent a visitor is pleasure in your life? Now I'm curious if any of you are thinking of something that you might classify as a guilty pleasure. Stop that. Have you ever, in the course of writing this sermon, it occurred to me in an entirely new way how much effort goes into curtailing our pleasure? The restrictions that religion and society have historically imposed on expressions of sexual pleasure, the attempts to limit reproductive freedom and agency, the shaming of those who have played by their own gender nonconforming rules in the pursuit of their own happiness, the body policing and absurd standards of beauty, the moral narratives that we have around things like drug and alcohol use. We live in a culture that works very, very hard to make sure there are only so many acceptable avenues for pleasure. So much so that we even police ourselves. Thinking of these pleasures that we don't deserve, these guilty pleasures. There is no room for guilt in pleasure. They do not coexist. There are only pleasures that are deemed socially acceptable. Petting dogs, cultivating a garden, digging your toes in the wet sand, making some art. And those pleasures that are deemed impolite, shameful, selfish, even unlawful. We have so many words and feelings whose main purpose is to minimize the pleasure we take in our own lives, to keep pleasure locked away and compartmentalized, when in fact it is essential. In her book, Pleasure Activism, author, doula, and queer Black activist Adrienne Marie Brown writes, "Feeling good is not frivolous. It is freedom." But how often does feeling good get put on the to-do list? My calendar is pretty full, and pleasure begins to feel like a luxury. The book Pleasure Activism came out about a year ago, and it was one of the top reads in a lot of my clergy circles, most of which skew towards the queer, the female, and the activist. But I didn't pick it up. I didn't read it. I said, yeah, it's probably a good book, but I had a lot more important things to think about than pleasure. But another year later, I can't think of anything more important to talk about than pleasure. So much about our lives is transactional. You do this for me, so I will do this for you. Quid pro quo is everywhere, in politics, in corporate policies, in decisions about who deserves access to services or aid. The more that we learn about the compassion crisis at our borders, the more it becomes clear that even basic human decency is on the bargaining table. Even our own lives, our own relationships can fall into the trap of the transactional, the fear that we must be useful in order to be loved, productive in order to be worthy. But pleasure is not transactional. Pleasure is pursued for no one's sake but my own. Pleasure is an internally motivated experience, one that reminds me that I am valuable even when I am not busy. Pleasure should not be a luxury, nor should it be an afterthought. Pleasure is not the little bit of parsley decorating your plate. It is the steak and the potatoes and the whole enchilada, the red velvet cake and the ripe mango and the crisp apple. Pleasure is the main course. Pleasure is the point. To embrace pleasure as a way of life is to embrace being fully human. Far too often, even those of us with the most privilege find ourselves in boxes far too small to contain all of who we are. Our soul's toes are pinched, and parts of ourselves remain hidden in shame or exercised in fear. Living this way, it is easy to feel small, powerless, and undeserving, which in turn makes us all the more easy to control. Pleasure makes room for all of us, reminds us that we are both loved and loving, that our bodies are good, that our desires matter, that rest and respite are necessary. Pleasure reminds us that there is no disconnection between the sexual, the spiritual, the emotional, the social. Pleasure is radical in the same way that kindness is revolutionary. Oppression, both systemic injustice and that self-throttling internal judgment that we make about ourselves, oppression robs us of our joy. Pleasure heals. Pleasure liberates. But to be a pleasure activist, as Adrienne Marie Brown urges us all to become, is about more than enjoyment, sensuality, and joy on the personal level. To be a pleasure activist is to ask, what does it look like on the collective level for us all to feel like we have access to lives that are fulfilling and satisfying? Orienting ourselves towards pleasure is not an invitation to escapism or excess, but an invitation to what Brown calls pure aliveness and actually being present for the world around you. Pleasure reminds us that our purpose is not to please others or prove our usefulness. Pleasure is not an escape from yourself, it is an immersion in it. Each of us has a purpose of our own to find and reclaim. Knowing and celebrating pleasure in your life helps you know that purpose when you find it, helps you know when the moment is right for your enthusiastic yes to life's pleasures and adventures. Pleasure activism, Brown writes, is about learning what it means to be satisfiable, to generate from within and from between us an abundance from which we can all have enough. Part of the reason so few of us have a healthy relationship with pleasure is because a small minority of our species hoards the excess of resources, creating a false scarcity, and then trying to sell us joy, trying to sell us back to ourselves. I can't remember recently being more angry at anything than the idea that we are being sold ourselves by this myth. We train ourselves to confuse excess with success, and we mistake indulgence for pleasure in this world where it's about getting more. Pleasure activism is about learning what it means to be satisfiable. What if all of your desires were in fact satisfiable? How deep does this narrative of never being satisfied have roots in your life? I know it's buried deep in mine, intertwined with that deep fear that I am not enough either. I will never have enough, and I will never be enough. This is our great delusion, a big gaping well of not enough that no amount of excess can fill. But pleasure can. Brown offers us this antidote to our delusion when she writes, "A central aspect of pleasure activism is tapping into the natural abundance that exists within and between us, and between our species and this planet. Pleasure is not one of the spoils of capitalism. It is what our bodies, our human systems, are structured for. It is the aliveness and awakening, the gratitude and humility, the joy and celebration of being miraculous. Pleasure is the point." Think back to those experiences of pleasure we recalled just a few minutes ago. We become what we practice. How might you practice pleasure with intention? How might we fully inhabit the bodies we have been given? How do we fall in love with them? The body is a place for pleasure and a place for power. May we enjoy it. Please join me in our closing hymn.